Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
They handed me a hammer and sent me off alone with a name out of the Bible to remind me where I'm from. I went off without direction. I went out of control. I had no home. I saw the reservations and the guns that shoot all night. The town was empty, but the ghost that kept me up all night. And no one came to see me. I was there alone. I had no home. Found it somewhere I belong, but I had no home. But then things started crumbling, and I knew it had to change. But once you get so far, you can't go back the way you came. And every day was somehow worse than the one before. I had no home. When I ran out of money, I had nowhere left to go. I was sleeping in a tavern in exchange for sweeping floors. And no one came to free me, but I made it out alone. Now I'm going home.
Folks, welcome to episode 176 of It Burns When I Pee, and I am super excited. I've been waiting all day to make this phone call. We have with us the one and only Slack-Eyed Slim. How are you, my friend?
I'm awesome. How are you, Blake?
Dude, it's been way too long. I went back to the archives, and you were on episode 51, which was in June of 2011, And then before that was 2010 when you guys were in Pekin, you and Joe Perez, and we did an interview. And then the first ever Slack Eyed Slim appearance was in 2008 on episode 20. So longtime friend of the show. The other day, got a message from you. It said, hey, I got a new record. Do you want to listen to it? I was like, oh, hell yeah. And so you sent it over to me, and I've been spinning it all the time. So welcome back to the show, man.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Yeah, it's really weird when I'm listening to your whole little spiel there. It's like, man, we're getting old.
Yeah.
Like 2008?
Yep.
Like, damn. Like,
yeah, I definitely, the age is catching up with me, you know. But
yeah, yeah.
And so today, I went back and I listened to all three albums. Texas Horror Pleaser. What's the second one?
Santo Grill. Santo Grill.
Yep.
That's good enough for me. I know what you're talking about anyway.
There you go. And then the new one is Giving My Bones Back to the Western Land.
Yeah, giving my bones to the Western Land, yeah.
And so that's a span. Texas Horror Pleaser came out in 2007, so that's a span of a few years, man.
Yeah, it's really weird, and it doesn't feel like it's been that long, and like, I don't even know, like, what's really happened, you know, because I'm definitely not the same person I was when I was releasing Texas Horror Pleaser,
right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, I can't even imagine writing something like that now, just kind of, I'm 32, man, like,
sure.
I got nothing left to look forward to.
Well, you know, I tried to, you know, listen to them in descending order, so from the new one back to Texas Horror Pleaser, just because I wanted to see what I thought of, you know, how you've progressed as a musician and an artist and as a writer. How have you grown as a musician?
Well, I mean, I'm not 22 anymore, and that's got a lot to do with it, you know. And I don't know. I mean, really, I just kind of, after the last album, I kind of like gave it everything I had and really went for it and tried to actually like to make a living at music. And it just, honestly, it just wasn't for me, you know. I mean, I'm not trying to knock anybody. I'm just saying, you know, if I don't have something going on to write about, like, that actually means something to me, something beyond just being in a bar every night, getting drunk, hanging out in a van, you know, shit like that. Like, I don't think I would like the music that I come up with. It just doesn't seem like I have any reason to write. But, you know, I moved to this ranch in 2013. Yeah, June of 2013, I moved from Wisconsin out of this ranch we happened to cross. It was this awesome, like, 1,800-acre ranch. And I'd been writing, and I just kind of started, like, everything started making sense. You know, I was like, holy shit, like, this is what I'm trying to write about, like, sure. Living in the West. Like, there was this homestead, like 200 yards from my house that was, like, you know, from the 1800s. So I'd go back there, and it was, I don't know, it was pretty intense being in that environment. Plus, we had no neighbors. It was just, like, we were the first people to ever live there. It was really crazy. So that's what happened to my writing, I guess. Hopefully I answered your question there.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that, like, you know, Texas Horror Pleaser was, like, the 22-year-old version of, hey, I don't really know about that, the area or the lifestyle, like, when you were there and when you were in the midst of it? Do you feel like maybe that like, now the new album is what you wanted to write about the whole time, but you're being able to experience it and being surrounded by it, as opposed to maybe Texas Horror Pleaser when it was just a concept?
I think that, I don't know, as you get older, your view of the world around you expands. I mean, I've moved around a lot, and you know, I've figured out enough things to know, like, what I want to be around and what I don't want to be around, and how to basically just deal with shit, you know.
Right.
That's what happens when you get old, you know, and I don't know, it's really hard to explain, but you just kind of evolve as a person, and that's just what happens, you know. Like, I'm not trying to say that the stuff that I did when I was 22 years old, yeah, I think it was pretty funny, and that was what it was supposed to be.
Sure.
You know, and that's, you know, we all change, you know. You know, nobody is the same person over the course of 10 years.
Right,
you know?
Right.
You know?
Well, even, you know, the show has evolved. I mean, people wouldn't think it if they listened to it, but, you know, if you listen to those first couple years and then you listen to the show now, I mean, it has evolved. There's the same core, but it's definitely evolved a different way. So, you know,
yeah.
The last time I saw you, I was in 2010 when you and Joe were on a tour together and you came through town. And I know that it was, like you said earlier, the touring was just rough, and you were trying to make it as a musician, and it was just rough, and it's not for everybody. I mean, it doesn't make you less of a person or more of a person if you survive it or don't survive it. But, you know, since then, have you even thought about doing tours, or are you just, you know, doing what you do every day and then making music on the side and then just putting it out?
I don't know. I mean, I'm really into the whole, like, I'm a pretty private person. Like, honestly, I don't even hang out with anybody in Colorado. I live in this really small town. I live 8 miles from Mesa Verde National Park in a cabin in a desert. And I mean, I can't give you any more specific directions back because it's in the middle of nowhere. So, I mean, I'm just kind of that kind of person. I'm just very reserved. It has nothing to do with touring or not. I mean, maybe if I'd gone out when I was younger, I just really don't like being the center of attention. I just like to write and kind of, you know, if you want this, you can have it. That's kind of the whole approach I'm taking, at least for now, because obviously, you know, as I said earlier, things change.
Sure.
But, you know, I have no idea what I'm going to be, how I'm going to feel 2 years from now, right. You know, and it's kind of, I feel kind of crazy, but it's also kind of empowering. It's like, man, I can do whatever I want.
Sure.
You know, this is America, God damn it.
Right.
You
know? America.
Like that kind of thing.
Sure.
America.
So, how did this album come about? I mean, how long have you been working on it?
Oh, I started writing songs for it. I mean, shit, I don't know. I honestly don't know when it really started. I mean, I didn't even know it was done until it was done. I was like, wow, okay, I've got an album now. I just started writing after. Well, I was living in this cabin down in Southwest Wisconsin, and it was a nice place, and I liked it there, but it was just not really what I wanted. And I wrote a lot of stuff, you know, out of nostalgia for living in the West, and the thing that it's always been. You know, and then I actually moved out to the Southwest, and I mean, I'd always kind of written about this stuff, but I never really spent a lot of time in the Southwest. But you know, here I'm like out here like fucking hanging out. I'm sorry, I'm swearing. Jesus,
no, you're
hanging out like, you know, by the Grand Canyon, smoking Marlboros, and it's just what I do on the weekend. You know, it's pretty cool. Like, I think this is what my life has become, and a lot of it is because of music. Even though I haven't been financially successful at it, but that's never what I wanted. You know, sure. I just wanted to make songs that people liked. That's basically the goal, you know, and that's kind of what this whole album has been. It's like, you know, I'm just a person, you know, I may have been pretty weird writing songs about cannibalism when I was younger, but I'm just a person like everybody else, you know?
So, what do you spend your days doing?
I spend a lot of time walking around. I went snowshoeing today. And, yeah, that's about it. I do a lot of shit outside. I started getting into, building guitar effects pedals.
Sure.
I built a bunch for myself that I used on the album, and then some of them just, you know, just miscellaneous recording equipment. But I'm actually working on a pedal right now for Zeb from Sons of Perdition.
Okay. Yeah.
He doesn't really know about it yet. I told him I was making it for him, but that's all he knows. But it's going to be like this really nice, like, basically I'm trying to make electronics for musicians that I like, just give it to them for free and make it like kind of like some really cool thing that was completely hand built, but it's like really high quality.
Sure.
You know, I just that kind of shit. That's what I do in my free time.
Well, you know, and one of the things, you know, even from the first album and the second, you definitely have unique ways of recording, and you try to do different stuff, different like older recording equipment just to get certain effects or certain sounds. What did you do the same with this album? I mean, was it as always that important to have that unique sound to it?
Well, yeah, it was, but we did that in scouting the location. We actually recorded in the homestead that I mentioned a little bit ago, on the ranch where I was living. There were two standing buildings. I mean, they had like half of a roof, and it was like really windy. But I used pretty nice equipment. I was actually trying to get it to sound good. Like, the whole thing, like, the Slack Eye Slim, the whole thing has just been evolution, basically, from the beginning. I mean, I wrote the whole first album because I bought a guitar, didn't know how to play it,
right.
You know?
Right.
And now I know how to play a whole bunch of instruments, and I'm trying to actually learn how to, like, get really good at these things and how to, like, record well, and it's just been, like, kind of a journey to basically improve myself. But yeah, we recorded in the buildings of this old homestead, and, yeah, it was pretty weird. It was definitely the strangest place I've ever recorded an album, and I'm pretty happy with the way it turned out.
Where do you find inspiration music-wise?
I don't really know. I mean, I listen to a lot of stuff. I've been really into Johnny Cash lately. He's got a lot of stuff about the West, and I'm not trying to like say I'm only interested in the West. I just really love it here. But he's got a lot of really good albums about, you know, old cowboy songs and stuff. He's got an album, Bitter Tears, Ballad of a Native American or something like that. And somebody just re-released a compilation with a whole bunch of people recording all the songs on that. And I listen to a lot of weird stuff like that and classic rock, like Neil Young, a lot of Neil Young, Hank Williams, Johnny Cash, you know, the standard stuff. I mean, listening to Waylon, you know, the usual, You know, the same thing I said every time I've been on your show, I guess.
I definitely, when I hear a Slack Eyed Slim album, no matter which one it is, I mean, there's definitely a unique Slack Eyed Slim sound. And it's evolved. I mean, I'm not saying it sounds exactly the same at all. You know, there's an evolution to it. But do you work toward having a unique sound and wanting to sound have different, or is it just that just kind of the way it ends up being? Because I know one of the instruments, I'm not going to, what is it called that you used on the album?
Is it a saw? That's probably the weirdest thing I use is a saw on this one.
The saw, and
yeah,
it sounds like the instrument that they played, like on the Star Trek or whatever, it was
They sound a lot like a theremin. Yeah,
there it is.
It's a saw. You know.
Oh wow.
Yeah, you can. You can cut wood with it. It's just a saw, and you play with a bow. I've got two different ones that they make. There's like two or three companies that make them that are specifically made to play music, and it all has to do with a grain of a stainless steel. I'm not going to bore you with this. These really dorky details about all this, but I've been playing saw for I don't know, probably about 10 years now, and I remember when I was a little kid watching this episode of Mr. Rogers, and there was a dude who was playing the saw, and I just remembered that one day I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get a saw because that'll be weird. Nobody does that. Like, I'll do that, and yeah, I just kind of started using it all the time
over the years. Like you said, you got it for Texas Horror Pleaser. I mean, you got a guitar, and you were just learning how to play it, and you've learned how to play a bunch of other instruments and stuff. When it gets frustrating, how do you step back from it when it gets frustrating, to where you can stop and say, okay, I gotta, do you take time away from it, or do you just grind it out until you figure stuff out? Or even with the
you gotta stop. You gotta realize when you don't have any ideas. No, because that's you know, that kind of goes back to what I was saying about, you know, like being on tour and living in a van. Like, I don't do very well in that environment. Like, I feel like I gotta be defensive. Like, people want to fight me all the time and shit. It's like, man, I'm a fucking country boy. Like, leave me the fuck alone.
Right.
You know. but yeah, it's like, oh jeez, I totally lost my train of thought. But what was the question again?
Oh, about learning new instruments and learning, you know, technical
right.
recording.
You gotta realize when it's time to take a break. Like, I spent a lot of time in the woods. Like, where I live now, we've got like, I don't know, 50,000 acres of BLM land. Like, I just walk off my porch and get this like little shitty cabin in the middle of nowhere we happen to find. And I spent a lot of time wandering around, and you know, I don't know, that's pretty much all I've been doing. You know, I just disappeared and trying to just, you know, make sense of it all, I guess.
Definitely. But I mean, when you're out there and you're by yourself, or you're in such a, you know, a vast land of, you're such a little dot on such a huge area. I mean, does it ever get, I mean, I know you're the kind of person.
Oh yeah. That's why you go. Yeah, right. For sure.
And I can see where it would be great to help you kind of find the inner you or inner, you know, your music even. But I personally think at some points I'd go kind of stir crazy.
Well, it's definitely not for everybody,
right?
You know, but
right.
I don't know. I like going to places that I feel like nobody's ever been before. It's just kind of, I don't know, I guess it's just what I do now. I don't know.
You have the pioneer personality. You know,
I guess so. Yeah.
How do you measure your success at the end of when you finish an album? When do you feel as though like you're proud of it? When is there a certain? I mean, do you wait to see how many downloads you get or people order, or is it an internal satisfaction?
No, I won't. I tend to be really, really picky about what I let people hear of mine, because I get a shitload of songs, and I only release things that I want people that I think are actually good. You know, and that's kind of been the whole thing. I don't know, maybe it's kind of off topic, but one thing I did want to say while I was talking to you is, you know, like, I made this concept album before, you know, and that was like really well received.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, I try to take the opposite end of the spectrum on this one, which is make a bunch of songs that could be perceived however the person listening wanted to, you know, like, it doesn't matter what they're actually about. But that was kind of the main thing that I was trying to do with this one, I think, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, definitely. Cause you know, there's definitely, there are albums and like in Texas Horror Pleaser, it's a story that goes along, you know, it goes along and every song
right.
has to do with the story. So I definitely see where you're coming from there. And I think that's what kind of, when you write a song, how many different ways people can relate to it kind of is one of the things that makes the song. And so you definitely on this album open that up to, you know, people can perceive a song differently than even when it's what it's about. But
I'm kind of scatterbrained right now, but what I was trying to get at, right, to answer your question from previously, is like, basically I know when something's dumb when I think it's okay, sure. You know, because I'm pretty critical of myself. So that's the answer to that. I'm sorry. Jesus. I smoke too much pot, man. I'm sorry.
No. So did you do the whole album by yourself, or did anybody else play on the album?
It was all me.
It was all you?
No, it was just me. Yeah. I tried to get some people involved, but it's just, I don't know. It's really, music is in really sad shape. It's just, it's hard to get a project together unless, you know, like there, you've got people who are like really interested in touring, and that's awesome. You know, you can find a band, you like go to whatever town and say, hey, I want to be in a band, I'm like going tour, we're going to do this, and you're gone. It's that easy. But for a person like me that has like a straight job in his normal life, I get to deal with people who also have straight jobs, and they all have a music project, and it's hard to get anybody to want to work with anybody else. They just want to work on their own thing.
Sure.
And that's pretty much been the story of my existence in music, you know? So I just decided I was going to do it all myself this time, like not even seek out anybody.
So do you do a lot of hunting as well?
No, my girlfriend's vegetarian. Okay. She'd probably get mad at me.
No, yeah.
I would, though.
What are some of the things that attract you to that style of life, you know, the being out in the wilderness?
People leave you alone, mainly. I mean, everybody, at least in this area, you know, I'm living on Indian land. I feel kind of like a dick for even living here, but, you know, I mean, I just belong to the Navajo, and there's a very strong Navajo presence here, but just this whole area, it's like there's a lot of different kinds of people. Everybody's pretty nice to each other. There's a lot of stuff to do if you're into the outdoors, if you're into being left alone and just kind of having time to yourself to figure all this shit out, you know. But I don't know. I really do like the native culture around here. It's really unlike anywhere else I've ever lived before. And I've met quite a few good people around here. It's not what you think it's going to be if you're not from the area.
Sure. I just envision you like walking out in the morning and like having to wrestle a bear.
No, it's not like that. No. But I mean, the place I was living on the ranch, I would have to go out. I actually learned that cows can jump fences. Oops. And I didn't know that because like there was this calf in my yard and I got these dogs, you know, they would like chase the cows around. Cause I mean, I live in the middle of a cow pasture on this big ass ranch. And so I had to go out. I saw these cows out. I didn't want my dog to bite the cow. So I was trying to chase the cow to the gate, but it just took off straight toward the fence and like jumped over it. And I'm like screaming and trying to get it stopped. I'm like, oh, well, cows can jump, I guess. No big deal. But yeah, it's more like that.
Sure.
It is kind of civilized around here. You gotta drive somewhere to get way out there.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, the new album again is Giving My Bones to the Western Lands.
Right. Yeah.
What do you want people to get out of it when they listen to it?
I don't know. You know, I haven't even really thought about that. I mean, I just want people to like it. That's about it. You know, whether you like it or not. You know, I wrote it. It's who I am. And a big difference between this one and the last albums I've done is I did a lot of character writing and, you know, pretending I'm somebody I'm not, just making shit up. But, like, this is actually me. I don't know. Like, I just want people to like it, you know. Definitely. And it's like my one last ditch effort at finding, you know, people who to be around or something. I guess. I don't know. I'm just kind of so far removed from everything. It's like, man, like, everything's just easier if you're by yourself. So I guess I don't know. You know, I want people to like it, but again, if they don't, that's fine too. You know, it's just music. It doesn't mean anything. You know,
do you find that it's probably beneficial for you as an artist not to, you know, be involved in a lot of, like, I guess the root scene, if you want to call it a scene, or have a lot of different perspectives of what's going on? I mean, like you said, you kind of stay to yourself. I mean, you obviously, you know what's going on, but you're not entrenched in it with like a lot of bands that are, they all hang out together, they're all interacting together all the time. Do you think that being I guess secluded in a way, or is beneficial creatively?
Well, I don't know. I mean, well, first off, I mean, I'm not really that secluded. Like, I don't want it to seem like I have a problem with anybody.
Sure. Oh no,
touring
no.
is not what I want to do. Like, I mean, for example, I had like Carrie Nation and the Speakeasy stay at my house when I was living up on the ranch. Like, we went out, I showed them around, and it was a lot of fun. I was like, you guys, like, yeah, like, you got 1,800 acres here, just go do whatever the hell you want.
Right.
You know, and Brody was like off by a rock pile staring at marmots. You know, it was crazy. Like, I'd never seen those guys so happy. You know. But I don't know, like I don't know. I mean, I don't think it really has hindered me at all because like I've never really been inspired by the same thing. Like, you know, like my thing, my take with music is I want to be somebody that, you know, maybe in like 30 years, like maybe this like whole roots thing will have like another, you know, resurgence later on.
Sure.
There's a guy, his name is Michael Hurley. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's like this weird folk dude from the 70s. And I just found out about him like a year ago. But it's like, this guy was doing all this really cool shit in the 70s that like probably nobody really listened to. But then later people found him, like, and he influenced people like Bonnie Prince Billy and stuff, you know, sure. Like stuff like that. And it's like that's kind of what I want to be. I just want to be like in the background, like somebody who, you know, was just there making good music, consistently releasing good albums, but wasn't necessarily trying to like make a name for himself.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I'm just who I am. And sure. That's all I'm going to be, you know?
And I think that's one of the things that, I've appreciated most, you know, because like I said, we haven't talked in a long time, but we've known each other for a long time. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
And we've had times where we've had you know, pretty in depth conversations, and
oh, for sure.
I think
yeah.
that's one of the cool things, and I think that's one of the things that helps me, you know, that I know you and I know how you are listening to your music. I think I get more out of it, maybe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I kind of understand it more, but you know,
I'm not going to pretend that Slack Ice Slim is not an acquired taste.
Right. No,
it's
no,
not
no.
for everybody,
definitely.
For sure.
Definitely. But I think if you listen to the new album, and I think if you go backwards, I think you'll appreciate each album for what they are. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really appreciate you saying that. And that reminds me, like the kind of, I guess, like the reason I did that, I really like Murder by Death a lot. Like, I think they're probably one of the best rock bands out there right now, and they're super down to earth. But it's the same thing with their albums. If you listen to their, I mean, they got a new one coming out like next month, which I'm pretty excited about, but like their last one, you take that album and listen to the backwards. It's like, okay, look, wow, you can really see like these are real people
right.
playing music and they just love to do it. You know, it doesn't really matter. If nobody was buying their records and they weren't able to go on tour or anything, they would still be doing this.
Sure.
You know, that's kind of what I'm trying to do.
Right. If you put out the same album every time, you're not growing as a person. You're not growing as a musician,
right?
And you can't expect
right.
your listeners grow as well. I mean, we all get older. You know what I mean? We all get older.
Yeah.
Our what we believe in or what we find to be important things are different. I mean, when I was 22, you know, it's definitely different than what, you know. I'm turning 40 in 2 months, and so my appetite for music has changed, although it's, you know, it's stayed the same, you know, independent kind of the roots music, but it's definitely what you're singing about definitely makes a difference. I mean, back then, all the party songs and getting drunk and having a good time, those were good songs. Now I want to know about people and life and, you know, how you get through hard times and, you know, just stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and there's also people who are, you know, I mean, I'm trying to not make us sound like a couple of, like, old dicks or anything, but, you know, we've been around for a while, and, you know, like,
yeah.
There's people who are our age now who are just like us when we started doing this stuff, you know, back in 08 or whenever that
right.
was,
right.
you know, but, they, you know, those people are the same as we are. People are very similar, you know. They're a lot more alike than they are different, even though it doesn't really seem like that sometimes, you know. It's just like, you know, people are people, and they may be inspired by the same things you are. So maybe if they can like look down ahead at what somebody else has done, it'll be like, oh, okay, cool. It's not so bad, you know.
Well,
like we don't have to be fucking crazy bastards in cowboy hats who go to rivers and cover themselves in mud and then write songs about cannibalism.
who would do such a thing, right? No. Like today, when I like I said, when I was listening to all three of them, you know, when I did get to the Texas Horror Pleaser, it did bring me back to a time when, you know. When that first came out and we were first talking and just the life, you know, it was just, to me it was like a mind blowing, because it was so much different than everything else. You know what I mean? And oh. It just seems like each album, believe me, when you send me a message and it says, hey, I got new music, you know, I honestly was like super giddy because, and like you said, not everybody likes Slack Eyed Slim, but everybody has to play a Slack Eyed Slim album or two and really give it a chance because it's something totally different, I think, and it's super awesome. I guess I'm kind of sound like a big butt kisser, but you know, that's how I feel about your music. So,
well, I don't know what to say now.
You know, but
I really appreciate that.
It's awesome. So, where can folks go to get the new album? That's probably the most important part.
Well, it's going to be released. I'm not sure when this is going to air, but it will be released on the 20th of January. So they can get it from me at bandcamp.slackiceland.com. Or, you know, you can get it from iTunes. I think iTunes is probably going to charge you for it. I'm giving it away just because I just want people to hear it.
Right.
You know, that's the main reason I make music is so people will listen to it. So I'm not going, you know, out and trying to tour to support it. So why would I expect people to seek me out and buy something? That's kind of how I look at it, you know?
Sure.
So they can just get it from me from slackiceland.bandcamp.com. Yeah. That's probably the best way. I'm also looking at doing a vinyl release of this too in the spring. I'm not totally sure how it's all going to work, but I really want to put something out on vinyl. So yeah, stay tuned for that.
Oh, definitely. And I want to put my order. I want to put my order in now for an autographed copy of the vinyl. Definitely.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. I'll make sure you get one.
All right, man. Well, man, it seriously was a pleasure to talk to you. We haven't talked in a while, but like I said earlier, you know, we've known each other for a long time now, and it's good to hear you're doing well, and it's good to hear that you're still making music, and it's been a pleasure talking to you, man.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for talking to me. I really appreciate it. And yeah, you really need to come out here. I'll show you some of the weird shit I found in the desert around here.
I found
corn cobs that are 900 years old.
That's crazy.
Crazy.
Crazy stuff. All right, well, folks, definitely check out Slack-Eyed Slim's new album, Giving My Bones to the Western Lands, and we'll put a link up to it, and check him out, and definitely go back and check out the other two albums, too. I am an advocate of it, and
they're all free, too.
Hey,
go to Bandcamp. Look me up on Bandcamp. I made them all free.
So, you know, when you get them for free and you listen to them, you can't lose because you're going to enjoy them and you're going to have them for free. Slack-Eyed, thanks again, man. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.
Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, Section 8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.